We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alpheus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Please stand with us as we read today's scripture, if you are able.
As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. He was sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. Matthew got up and followed him.
Later, Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came. They ate with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this, so they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this, so he said, "Those who are healthy don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I have not come to get those who think they are right with God to follow me. I have come to get sinners to follow me."
But when the Son of Man came, he ate and drank as you do, and you may. This fellow is always eating and drinking far too much. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. All who follow wisdom prove that wisdom is right.
That is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Feast family. You are awesome. And again, the invitation is open for everyone to share in the reading of God's word, because yea, verily, I will draft you anyway. And it's just a blessing to hear the reading of God's word. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Amen. Hey, it's time for a poll. Are you ready for a poll? Right in the middle of a worship service, now we're going to have a little bit of a poll. And so for those of you online, if you are able to enter something on a chat, you can enter your number there. We'll know what you mean by just a one-word answer. And those of you here, you could just yell it out. So, question number one. Do you like food? Ah, I'm hearing that yes. Hope those of you online have just typed yes. But if you said no, I will respect that. Poll question number two, which I hope you will answer with even more enthusiasm, both here through voice and online through chat. Do you love food?
Yes.
Yes, I knew it. I had not one iota of a doubt. We love food. We love food. But you know, some of us are a little bit more passionate about our food, especially those that are into food eating contests. Take Joey Chestnut here. We see that slide. This young man has a record. He has eaten 75 hot dogs, that includes the bun, 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That is 7.5 hot dogs a minute. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? He looks so happy. We don't have an after picture. And, you know, what can we say? Some people are just into hot dogs. And then, what about pie eating? What fair doesn't have a pie? Now, during COVID, this probably doesn't happen. All these are pretty much pre-COVID. But pie eating contests are so fun because you never know what their strategy is. Some of these folks look like they are inhaling in here. And I'm thinking that's not good. But maybe they have a good health plan. But probably the grossest food contest ever is mayonnaise eating. This is Michelle Cardboard Shell Lynch. She has eaten in the Guinness Book of World Records, you see their little sign there, she has eaten 5 pounds of mayonnaise in 3 minutes. To which many of us go, right? Thank you very much, gentlemen. All to say that we love food. And some of us in this room would consider ourselves foodies, right? We look up new recipes, new ways to prepare something, to smoke meat, you know, barbecue, all those different things. The only thing is, food isn't just about us. It's about others. Our love of eating actually can help bless other people by helping us to connect with other people so that they can be connected to Jesus. Amen? And that's what we're about in this series, How to Bless Your Neighbor. We've been in this series since the Sunday after Easter, which, by the way, happy Easter. We've been in this series and we've been talking about ways that we can bless other people. And we talk about that because we look at the word bless as an acronym to help us to understand 5 missional practices. We talked about the very first letter, the B in bless, which was begin with prayer. Then last week's letter was L for listen, and both of those are fine missional practices, and I hope that you've had a chance to practice both of those all this time. And today we're going to be talking about that favorite activity of ours, and that is to eat, and how that connects us with other people. Because I think connecting with other people is a challenge in our culture. I think that, you know, number one, COVID has definitely put a hamper on being able to eat with other people. That's just the way that it's happened to be. And trying to, we kind of are cordoned off with other people when we eat. So we have that challenge. But now that in our country, we're beginning to come out on the other side of that, we need to plan for how we can eat with others. Because pre-COVID, we had challenges with eating together too. That's because many of us don't really sit together around a dinner table anymore. We have a TV on that we pay attention to. We have a computer screen open that we're checking things on. Or we have, you know, these things, right? And our heads are always down looking at these things. And we're not really reaching out to one another. And yet it is good if we find ways that we can eat with one another. I think one of the the psychological effects of this pandemic is that we're feeling more depressed and a little down because we're not able to come together to eat. And it's been a great joy to see on Facebook and other social media platforms how some of your families are able to come back together now that people are getting their shots. And they're able to be with family, especially since this is prom time. See all those prom pictures out there. If we haven't been able to eat together as much, the time is coming when we will be able to. And we need to plan for that, because that is a wonderful way that we can bless other people, is through table fellowship. It's what Jesus was known for. Jesus was known for his preaching and his teaching and his healing and his praying, right? We talked about that, his listening. But he was also known for his table fellowship, how he ate with others. We know this just in reading the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, the expectation in that Gospel is Jesus is the Messiah, and people are looking for a sign. And what was the very first sign that Jesus performed? Was it walking on water? Was it healing people? No. Jesus made a wedding feast even better by turning jugs of water into wine. Party on, Jesus. That was the first sign that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one. He was the Son of God. Was that he turned water into wine. Good thing that Mother Mary was there to tell him that you need to do this, Jesus. But that was his sign. And we see where Jesus is all a part, this table fellowship. We see it in his miracles and the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000. We see that even when Jesus has his final meal with his disciples, his Last Supper, which we remember on this day in Holy Communion. So Jesus was known for his table fellowship. But to see the power of that table fellowship, we need to look at expectations and customs of ancient Near Eastern hospitality traditions. Because it was so very important, just like I said in the children's time, it was so very important that you ate with all the right people. Who you ate with was very important, because there was a power to the meal you had. When you ate with somebody, then you were affirming that person, and not just that person, not just because you love them or they were a friend of yours. You lifted up their whole value and worth in that society. If you were of a certain class, and class structures aren't the way they were then that they are now, still, you would allow them to be a part of that class. There's a story of Jesus at a meal where people are juggling to get seated close to the host. That's an example of that. If you got seated close to the host, you're good people. And there's a scripture about that. That struggle was there. That expectation was there. And this is where Jesus got into trouble with the religious authorities. Because they had expectations too. If you were a good rabbi, a righteous rabbi, then you ate with all the good people, those that followed the law. And Jesus simply did not do that always. In fact, Jesus seemed to go out of his way to eat with all the bad people, the wrong people, the people of ill repute, the people who were on the margins of society, who were poor, who were nothing. Jesus ate with them, and that drove the Pharisees up the wall. Because there are laws for this, Jesus, that you needed to follow. But Jesus turned that tradition upside down. And we see that in the story which he called Matthew today. And I'm so thankful for the family feast. You guys were awesome in sharing scripture. And I also gave you a flavor of the show The Chosen, just kind of as another example of that call of Matthew as well. And I shared that with you to give you a sense of who Matthew was, but most especially what other people considered him to be. Matthew was a tax collector, and Matthew was scum. Now, 2,000 plus years later, after Jesus' death, we still are uneasy about taxes. But I think we're a little bit more, well, maybe not the IRS always, but we're a little bit more forgiving of people that work with taxes. We recognize the need for that. But in that time, in that culture, taxation was a representation, a very physical representation of Roman rule. And Matthew was scum. He was a traitor for colluding with the Romans. And if Matthew was like any other tax collector, then he overcharged on taxes and collected. We know that Zacchaeus did that. He said, if I've ever defrauded anybody after his conversion, if I've defrauded anybody, I will pay them back four times as much, right? That's what he promised. Matthew was a tax collector. So now you understand why that was Peter that came up to Jesus at that one point in the video. Do you know who this man is? Do you know what he's done? I don't get it. He doesn't get why Jesus would call him. Because what Jesus did didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to call Matthew. We read that in the Bible so many times. Oh, isn't that nice? Jesus called Matthew the tax collector, and they had a party at his house. We don't know how scandalous that was. He invited a traitor to his house, a traitor to his country, to his house. He invited himself and all the disciples there because they're going to party at his house. And so it's understandable why Pharisees would be upset. It's understandable even why his disciples might be upset, because it is upsetting. And I would ask that you would bring to your heart those that you would find it difficult to invite to your home. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But you need to understand the scandal of the call here. Jesus doesn't call the people that we think Jesus should call. Jesus calls those people that God wants to be called. It may help us to understand later when Judas is called as well. Jesus called Matthew, and they had a party, and at that party, then Matthew was given worth and value. And they could celebrate that. But the Pharisees were upset. And notice in the scripture that Chris read and Madeline read in that scripture from Matthew, that they don't even talk to Jesus about it. They talk to his disciples. They go around his back. Say, why does your teacher do this? And of course, Jesus has super ears, right? So he hears them and he says, I don't come here just to be with the well people. I come here as a physician to heal those that need healing from sin. Which, by the way, doesn't let the Pharisees off this thing. They're not the healthy people that Jesus is talking about. They just don't know how unhealthy they are. But Jesus says, this is why I'm here, is to give everybody worth and to bring people together. And then Lily read that scripture from Luke, which showed another instance where the Pharisees and the religious authorities are all upset at Jesus. And in fact, guilt by association, they say, look at him. He eats with all the wrong people. In other translations, they say he's a glutton and a drunk. But he's not, is he? No, he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is a man with a mission. And that is the mission to bless. And he's a model for all of us. And that's why we need to take a look at our table fellowship and who we invite to eat at our dinner table. Number one, we know that we've got a challenge in learning to eat together again. And coming out of COVID, this gives us the opportunity to begin to practice what it means for us to come together. Many of you are now able to come together with your families after so long. And I hope that by the fall, we're going to be able to come together in our Robbins Christian Life Center. Number one, it'll be fixed. Number two, it will be a time where we might be able to come together and we'll be able to eat together. But we need to think differently than we have before. We need to think about how it is to eat with others with an open heart, to be more invitational, because this is the way to connect. And maybe it's not that we all come together, but that we find different ways to go out in the community and dadgummit to at least have a cup of coffee with somebody new. It's important for us to learn to eat with one another. And I'm going to read something that is so obvious, and yet it's so important. This is from my favorite devotional writer, Henri Nouwen. You guys know Henri Nouwen? Oh man, you need to look up his stuff. He is amazing. He says, "When we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, 'Help yourself, take some more,' don't be shy, have another glass. We offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another." Do you ever think about our mealtime like that? But it's true. I have the best memories of eating around kitchen table in my folks' kitchen. And they had a dining room with a big table, but no, we had to be in the kitchen with a little table that had little slats that pulled out that you kind of put a little thing underneath to hold it up. And we would gather around that table and we would talk to each other. Sometimes talking was the best thing because, you know, my mom made liver and onions or, you know, some other things that, you know, we had to talk so we could find a way to hide that somewhere or, you know, somehow get through it. And yet there was a blessing there. And as a family, I feel we grew closer. And I have to confess to you that I don't, you know, just about every day I find myself on a TV tray watching news at supper time. And I was talking to Tammy. It's like, we need to find a way just to be together. Yesterday I mowed the lawn. It took me a while. Had a lawnmower that was kind of acting up on me. But after 4 hours in that backyard with a mower without power, good workout. I burned 1 billion calories. I told Tammy as I was sitting there exhausted, it's like, we need to invite people over. And so that's been speaking to my heart. And so that time is coming. And I hope that it is for all of us, that as we talk about what it means to come together, that we can start to invite people to come together. There are a lot of excuses not to. And I'm going to list these excuses, and I want to lift these up, that these are excuses that in COVID times make sense, actually, and seem important. But these are things, these are excuses that we would give even pre-COVID, frankly. And so here are reasons why we often don't invite people to eat with us. Number one, we don't want people at our house. I mean, it's our turf, right? We don't want people at our house. We may not feel like we like what's inside our house, or there's something we don't want people to see. And we need to be more open to doing that. Man, if we don't like people in our house, let's take them to eat, out to eat, right? That's not always an excuse. The other one, and I hear you on this one, it's like, I don't know what to say if I'm hosting a meal, right? What am I going to say to somebody? And the point is there is you have a skill, you know, a missional practice that you've learned, and that is, you know, you only have to ask a few questions to get to know somebody, and then what do? But you listen. Exactly, you listen. And the last excuse, and probably the one that I've already spoken of and we know, is that we just don't have time. It's hard enough to find time to eat with our families. How are we going to find time to eat with someone else? Well, I want to challenge you on that one. Thankful for Dave and John Ferguson for this idea, but they said, you know, why not pick 1 or 2 days a week to engage in a missional practice of eating with someone else? This is COVID times. We can't necessarily have people over at our houses, but we can have socially distanced picnics. This weather has been outstanding for that. What would it be as if we, you know, you go to Dairy Queen and then you go to Lord's Park? You know, you sit at one bench and somebody else sits at another bench, socially distanced, but you're still able to talk. We need to think differently. We need to get out of our comfort zones in how we practice our own table fellowship. And we need to do this because this is what Jesus teaches us. And so I invite you, as part of your next discipline, to engage in the missional practice of eating. Because this is how we can truly connect with other people. Man, food, the best connector of all. But we can connect to them, and then in doing so, we can connect them to Jesus Christ. Are you up for the challenge? Okay, it may take a while. COVID is still with us. I don't want to nullify that at all. But that means then we got some planning time, right? And that's what we're going to talk about in the days and weeks to come. Just be ready to bless by how you eat. And all God's people said, amen.